The Guardian.
Before we hear what George Bush and Gordon Brown have been saying 5 years after the US-led invasion of Iraq, how do you think Iraqis will be reflecting on today's anniversary?
Well, kind of the term Iraqis has, at the moment, has become very, very kind of deceiving term, because you have to talk about specific city, about specific neighborhood, about the situation on the ground is so divided, so fragmented. So 5 years on, I think the term Iraqi is not true anymore.
So, I mean, looking at, for instance, some of the your neighbourhoods in Baghdad that you've been revisiting in as part of the series of films you've been making for Guardian.co.uk, what are people? How do you think people there will be feeling about today's anniversary?
Well, that's exactly the situation. Baghdad at the moment is so fragmented into multiple kind of neighborhoods, surrounded by walls, by watchtowers, guarded by different militias, paid by the Americans, fighting the Americans. You know, it depends what kind of a militia we're talking about. So each neighborhood will have its own character at the moment. And this is the situation in Iraq 5 years on, that Baghdad is divided itself into something like 15, 20 different neighborhoods. So the reality is on the ground 5 years on is the state of civil war that Iraq is living on.
And is there any sign of the authorities in Iraq providing, you know, again, a kind of glue to bring people back together?
No. The central authority is living one of these kind of big, massive neighborhoods. They're living in the green zone. It's the neighborhood of the green zone. It's the government of the green zone. So while the normal people on the ground, they see the militiaman controlling their street without seeing the bigger government. So there is no sense of government in Baghdad at the moment. And the division is kind of the most visible thing you see in Baghdad. You don't see any services. You see 2 hours of electricity, if you're lucky, average in Baghdad. You see sewage in the street. You see the walls. You see the militias. And you see the security forces of the Iraqi government, which is so involved in human rights abuses. Torture is the norm in every single police station in Iraq. In every detention facility run by the Iraqi government, there is torture. There's people are beaten up. 5 years on, when we talk about democracy, this is, again, a very it's not true, basically.
Well, let's hear what George Bush said at the Pentagon yesterday. He defended going to war in Iraq and said the US would keep its troops there until Iraq was stable enough to stand up on its own.
We will show that men and women who love liberty can defeat the terrorists. And we will show that the future of the Middle East does not belong to terror. The future of the Middle East belongs to freedom. We have learned through hard experience what happens when we pull our forces back too fast. The terrorists and extremists step in. They fill vacuums, establish safe havens, and use them to spread chaos and carnage. General Petraeus has warned that too fast a drawdown could result in such an unraveling, with al-Qaeda and insurgents and militia extremists regaining lost ground and increasing violence. Men and women of the armed forces, having come so far and achieved so much, we're not going to let this happen.
Gaith, one of the films that you made for Guardian.co.uk concerns the claim that the US troop surge has worked. What's your view of that?
Well, when the president talks about kind of Iraq is, if they pull out of Iraq, Iraq would become a safe haven for terrorism. Iraq is now is a safe haven for every extremist ideology and group. Anyone who wants to work, to fight and to it comes to Iraq. So the surge is working? No, the surge is not working. What's happening in Iraq is separating the different kind of fighting, the many different fighting groups, is the Sunni and the Shia militias groups are closer to having a reconciliation now because of the surge? Of course not. Yes, the division is wider, actually. And if before the surge we're talking about Shia militias, Shia-dominated government kind of fighting a Sunni insurgency, at the moment we're talking about Sunni militias, Sunni-equipped, Sunni, the so-called awakening councils, they're a militia. They have their weapons, they have their uniforms, they have their existence. And you have a Shia government on the other side that controls the security forces. And so the state of civil war is still there. If we wanted to end the civil war, or you should start with reconciliation. This reconciliation doesn't exist on a street level. You take those Sunnis and include them in the military forces or in the security forces, but this is not happening. So the main structure of the security forces is sectarian. The streets are controlled by sectarian militias.
In Britain, Gordon Brown recently announced a public inquiry into the causes of the war. As Chancellor, Mr. Brown bankrolled Tony Blair's Iraq policy. But yesterday, at Prime Minister's Questions, Gordon Brown seemed unrepentant when challenged by the Lib Dem leader Nick Clegg to defend his role.
Mr. Speaker, there is a democracy in Iraq as a result of the changes that have been brought about. Millions of children are getting the benefit of both education and vaccination and healthcare services as a result. We are rebuilding with the Iraqis the economy of Iraq. I don't believe he wants to go back to a situation where Saddam Hussein was in control of Iraq.
Gaith, you're shaking your head there when Gordon Brown said there was democracy.
This is one of these kind of like, talking about democracy in Iraq, and this is again a way of deceiving the public here, talking about democracy in Iraq, while Iraq is controlled by people wearing commandos uniforms, kind of carrying guns and driving in the streets of Baghdad in pickup trucks. You don't know who are those people. Are they kind of the democratically elected security forces of Iraq? I don't think so. They're militiamen. And then when the prime minister talks about kind of comparing Iraq we don't want to go back to life a dictatorship, as if Iraq, you know, has only of one two choices, you know, either a dictatorship or an occupation, by denouncing or by talking about how bad situation now in Iraq, we're not condoning Saddam. We're not saying like life under Saddam was rosy or was good, but the reality is on the ground now. Sometimes it's worse than under Saddam.
What about Gordon Brown's claims there that Iraqi children are getting access to education and healthcare as a result of what's happened?
Both are kind of like, especially the education part is so not true. Iraqi children had better access to education, though even under Saddam, we're talking about a very bad educational system. Teachers were paid $2-3 a month. Wide corruption. The whole state of Iraq was crumbling and falling under the sanction and under the rule of Saddam, of course. The reality today, the education system, you can see one of the films, we talk about the education system of the children of Baghdad. One of the teachers tells me that all his students have a sectarian mind. I go to one of the classrooms and next to the blackboard where the teacher is writing the word come and word play, on the other side of the blackboard there is kind of chants and celebrations for Muqtada Sadr, the militia leader. The schools have become sectarian. The kids are not going to school because they need to work, because they need to find a job, because they need... The teacher himself tells me like some of his students run in the street selling petrol in the black market. So the education system today, and this is one of the very kind of like clear example, is much worse than the education system 5 years ago.
Anti-war demonstrations are expected today in Britain and in America. Earlier, I spoke to Kate Hudson, who's the chairwoman of the Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament, part of the Stop the War Coalition. I asked her why they're still calling for troops, British and American, to be withdrawn from Iraq.
Well, we believe that this is really the last phase which is necessary to bring peace effectively to Iraq, to enable the population there to undertake the kind of reconstruction that they want, to develop the full democracy that they want, and to really take charge of the situation. They've been through some terrible experiences. We feel that the continuing presence of the troops there is not helping the situation. There has been considerable withdrawal of our troops. We know now that they're playing support roles and so on. They're not actually out on the streets anymore in Basra. We welcome that, and we think that really now full pulling out is absolutely essential.
Gaith, anti-war campaigners want the British and American troops brought home. Would such a move be welcomed by Iraqis?
Well, I think yes, and I think the first step of doing so is by declaring a timetable. Realistically speaking, even if the Americans or the new American president decide to withdraw all his troops next day, it will take considerable time for them to leave. We're talking 160,000 soldiers. We're talking about massive bases and crazy logistics on the ground, you know. So the first step is declare a timetable. Show the Iraqis that the Americans are not in occupation. They're staying there for the rest of humanity, you know. Tell the Iraqis there is kind of a day when there will not be Americans patrolling the street. And the most important thing, the Maliki government, which is a sectarian government to many Iraqis, by declaring a timetable, you withdraw this unlimited support that this government is using to fight anyone in Iraq that it describes as a terrorist. There will not be a reconciliation in Iraq as long as one side of Iraq is supported or perceived to be supported by the Americans and the other side of Iraq perceives itself as being oppressed or marginalized or whatever the term is. So there is an imbalance now in Iraq, and the presence of these troops is causing this imbalance. So declaring a timetable, withdrawing support from the Maliki government would address this the situation in the ground now.
Gaith, many thanks.
Thank you.
For more discussion and analysis, download Guardian Daily. That's the Guardian's news podcast, available first thing in the morning, Monday to Friday.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.